بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين. أما بعد، we continue reading in كتاب التوحيد الذي هو حق الله على العبيد لشيخ الإسلام الشيخ محمد بن عبد الوهاب رحمه الله تعالى. We have been reading from the chapter the author has mentioned, rahimahullahu ta'ala, Babu Shafa'a, the chapter with regards to intercession and the clarification of the proper creed and the proper belief and the correct understanding, that which is clarified in the Book of Allah Azza wa Jal and likewise clarified in the Sunnah of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam with regards to this issue and with regards to this affair of Shafa'a and intercession. And that the intercession has been negated from those who seek to obtain it in a manner that is not legislated. And the shafa'a has been negated from those who try to obtain it without the permission of Allah, and they try to obtain it for those whom Allah is not pleased with. And this is the shafa'a al-manfiyya. فَلَا تَنْفَعُهُمْ شَفَاعَةُ الشَّافِعِينَ. But as for the shafa'a and intercession that is affirmed and that is established, this is with regards to the shafa'a that will be with the permission of Allah Azza wa Jal, and that He would allow it, subhanahu wa ta'ala, to occur, and He would allow for someone to seek intercession on behalf of someone else. This is something that He will make permissible for those whom He wants to honor, subhanahu wa ta'ala, and likewise for those whom He wants to show mercy to, tabaraka wa ta'ala. And that shafa'a al-muthbata, it is with two conditions, and that is with the permission of Allah Azza wa Jal, and likewise it must be by and for someone whom Allah Azza wa Jal is pleased with. We have read many of the evidences and likewise discussed some of the details with regards to this affair. And we continue reading, and the author, he mentions, وَقَوْلِهِ قُلُوا دُعُوا الَّذِينَ زَعَمْتُمْ مِنْ دُونِ اللَّهِ لَا يَمْلِكُونَ مِثْقَالَ ذَرَّةٍ فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَلَا فِي الْأَرْضِ. الآيتين. The author, رحمه الله تعالى, he mentioned this noble verse from Surah Al-Saba. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he commands his prophet to say to the mushrikeen, to the polytheists and the pagans, قُلْ, يعني قُلْ يَا مُحَمَّدْ, قُلْ, قُلْ, قُلْ دُعُوا الَّذِينَ زَعَمْتُمْ مِنْ دُونِ اللَّهِ. He said, say to them, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, call on those whom you claim to be gods besides Allah. Call on them. لَا يَمْلِكُونَ مِثْقَالَ ذَرَّةٍ فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَلَا فِي الْأَرْضِ. They do not possess or have authority or ownership over an atom's weight in the heavens nor in the earth. And in the smallest thing, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He refers to something that is very small or insignificant, or to refer to something that is very minute or very small. Allah refers to it in this manner, dharra. Dharra is the smallest ant. And in the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, this term was used in this manner, dharra, in reference to a very small and tiny ant. Also, the dharra has been mentioned as a particle, in the dust particles. And likewise, in modern terminology, a dharra is an atom. So, which is the smallest of the creation. So Allah is saying, "Udu'u alladhina za'amtum min dunillah." Call on those. Supplicate to them and seek their needs. Seek your needs from them. And this is not a command to do that, but this is a threat, and this is a clarification of the falsehood that they're upon. Go ahead and do that. Will it benefit you whatsoever? It will not benefit you whatsoever. Why? لا يملكون مثقال ذرة في السماوات ولا في الأرض. Because those whom you call on besides Allah, those false gods that you claim, and those deities that you worship besides Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and that you claim will benefit you, they own nothing. They do not own even an atom's weight, or the weight of a small ant. They do not own even the weight of a particle of dust, or that which is lesser than that. They have no authority or power or control over that. لا يملكون مثقال ذرة في السماوات ولا في الأرض. Not in the heavens and not in the earth. And then he mentions subhanahu wa ta'ala likewise, those whom they call on them, see if you benefit from them. You will never benefit from them. وَمَا لَهُمْ فِيهِمَا مِنْ شِرْكٍ. And likewise, they have no partnership or share in that authority. They themselves do not have any authority or command or possess anything by themselves alone in the heavens and the earth, nor do they have a share with that, with the true owner and possessor, which is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They have no share in that likewise. وَمَا لَهُ مِنْهُمْ مِنْ ظَهِيرٍ. And likewise, Allah, He does not have any aiders, anyone to help Him or support Him. Likewise, from them. And then he mentions subhanahu wa ta'ala, وَلَا تَنْفَعُ الشَّفَاعَةُ عِنْدَهُ إِلَّا لِمَنْ أَذِنَ لَهُ. And likewise, the intercession will not benefit with him, any with Allah Azza wa Jal, except for those whom he allows. Except for those whom he allows and permits subhanahu wa ta'ala. This particular verse, or these verses here in this context, the ulama, they have referred to these verses and to mention the ayat. These verses, they strip the roots of shirk from the hearts of the mushrikeen. And anybody who were to ponder over this affair and to ponder over these verses here, they will see that shirk is falsehood and it is of no benefit and no avail. And the one who is committing this action of shirk, he is upon the most clearest of falsehood and likewise disbelief. So if a person is going to call on somebody, if he's going to call and invoke and supplicate to and ask for help or aid or assistance or ask for provision and so on and so forth, then the one whom he's calling on has to possess that and has to own that and has to have authority and power and control over that for him to be able to bestow it upon him. Because the most clearest of affairs is that great saying, فَاقِدُ الشَّيْءِ لَا يُعْطِيهِ, that somebody cannot give something that they do not have. So therefore, to call on somebody and to ask them for something that they do not own, nor do they possess, or nor do they have authority or power or control over, then this is foolishness, and this is ignorance, and this is falsehood. Even from the affairs of the dunya, if a person wants to borrow money, or if he needs help financially, he's not going to go to the poor people and ask them for help. He's not going to go to the destitute and the people who are on the streets who have nothing and beg them for money to pay their bills or to fulfill their needs. Rather, he's going to go to somebody who possesses what he's asking for. Is going to go to somebody who is able and capable of fulfilling that need. And from the first affairs that must be present for a person to be able to fulfill another's need is that that person will have that which that person wants in his possession, and he will have authority over that, and he will have control over that, and he will have ability to do that and to take care of that. So then therefore, the one who is going to be asked or called on and requested to meet someone's need, then that person, he must have ownership over the thing that is being requested. This is the first and clearest affair. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He has negated this. And He has negated this from those false gods. And He has clarified that huwal malik subhanahu wa ta'ala, malikul mulk, that Allah, He is the one who has authority and control over all things. And that anything from His creation, what they possess from the creation is something that Allah has allowed them to possess. And they do not truly possess anything. And that whatever the creation has, this is from the bounty and blessing of Allah. And that He is the true Malik, and He is the true King, and He is the true owner, and He is the one who has authority entirely and ultimately. Subhanahu wa ta'ala, and everything besides Him, it only has authority or ownership in accordance to what He has allowed and permitted, subhanahu wa ta'ala. Lahul mulk. Lahul mulku subhanahu wa ta'ala. He's the creator of all things. He is the one who has created all things and brought them into existence, and He has given them their shapes and their forms, subhanahu wa ta'ala. And He is the one who provides for His creation in a manner pleasing to Him and according to His knowledge and wisdom, tabaraka wa ta'ala. And the creation owns nothing or has authority over nothing except that what Allah has allowed. So those whom they call on besides Allah Azza wa Jal, they are not owners of anything in this creation. The ownership where they have the ability to do as they like with it. Rather, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He is the owner and possessor of the creation. And He is the one who has authority and command over the creation. So therefore, this first aspect here, that they call on besides Allah Azza wa Jal, and they supplicate to them, and calling on them and making dua to them, like the mushrikun did in the times of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, calling on their idols and their false gods. Do you see them? Do they have authority? Do they have power, or do they own anything, or do they have the ability to bring benefit or to harm? They do not possess any of this. Likewise, the awliya and likewise the people in the graves today, and the mushrikun, they call on them, and the dead from the righteous and from the prophets, or from the angels, those who call on Ali, and they call on Hussein, and the likes like this. Ali himself, he does not own anything from the heavens and the earth, nor does he have authority or power over anything in the heavens and the earth. Rather, he has passed away and he has died, and he was not able to save himself from death likewise, and neither were those who were more virtuous than him before him, radiallahu anhu, from the prophets and the messengers and the best of them, Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So these affairs and anything from the creation, it's not worthy of worship. The Creator, He's the one who's worthy of worship. We have seen that. And likewise, here we see, لَا يَمْلِكُونَ مِثْقَالَ ذَرَّةٍ فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَلَا فِي الْأَرْضِ. Those whom they call on besides Allah, they do not possess nor own or have authority or power over an atom's weight, or over the smallest of affairs, any in the heavens and the earth. In the heavens and the earth. But the issue is now that even if a person, or even if those whom they call on, they say, no, we don't believe that our false gods, or that the awliya in the graves, or that the mashayikh and so on and so forth, whom they call on besides Allah, we don't believe that they have ownership or possess anything from the heavens and the earth. Rather, the next thing that one would say, well, okay, no, he doesn't own anything or have authority over anything whatsoever. He doesn't own it by himself, istiqladan. But he does have partnership with him. He has partnership with him. So maybe the person, he doesn't own the thing or have entire authority over it. But if he has partnership with him, a person can still go to him and try to benefit from him. A person can still go to him and try to benefit him and ask him for some help or some benefit or to protect him and the likes like this. Because the person, he doesn't own it himself, but he has some partnership with it. As for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Malikul Mulk, Tabaraka wa ta'ala, ma lahum fihi ma min shirk. And likewise, they have no share in the heavens and the earth. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He created the heavens and the earth alone, without any help, and there is no one who shared in that creation with Him subhanahu wa ta'ala. And they have no share with Him likewise in His kingdom and dominion and in His authority, and likewise in His decree and His command subhanahu wa ta'ala. He is one in this, tabaraka wa ta'ala, and He has this right alone, tabaraka wa ta'ala. So therefore, there is no partner likewise for Him in the heavens and the earth. So nothing that they call on besides Allah Azza wa Jal, those false gods, whatever they may be. And this includes anything that is called on besides Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. قُلُوا دُعُوا الَّذِينَ زَعَمْتُمْ مِن دُونِ اللَّهِ. Any of them, no matter what. مَلَكٌ مُقَرَّبْ أَوْ نُبِيٌّ أَوْ نَبِيٌّ مُرْسَلْ أَوْ رَجُلٌ صَالِحْ or less than that. Doesn't matter whether this is included here in this statement. Call on those whom you will or you claim falsely besides Allah. Any of them, whether it's a near angel from the righteous and the most purest of angels and obedient, or whether it's from a messenger or a prophet, or whether it's from a righteous individual. Likewise, all of this is included. Call on whom you like besides Allah Azza wa Jal. They do not possess the Adam's weight of anything. They do not possess anything. They don't have complete authority and command and ownership over anything in the heavens and the earth. And also on top of that, وَمَا لَهُمْ فِيهِمَا مِنْ شِرْكٍ. And likewise, they do not have any partnership as well. They do not have any partnership as well. So those whom they call on besides Allah Azza wa Jal, they do not have the authority, nor do they possess anything to bring benefit for that person, nor to remove the harm from that person. So they're calling on them in falsehood. But likewise, not only do they not themselves possess anything from the good or the bad of this life by themselves alone, And also they have no portion or no share in that whatsoever. Likewise, الملك لله. الملك لله وحده سبحانه وتعالى وله الملك وله الملك. نعم تبارك وتعالى وما له منه من ظهير. And likewise, if that's not the case, the first case is that one would call on somebody who has authority and owns something, and they're able to benefit them, or at least they have a share in that, and they are able to use their authority over the portion that they have in order to benefit that the one that's calling on them. Or even if they don't have these two affairs, then maybe he will be someone who helps the king, or someone who helps the one in authority. Either he has complete authority and ownership, or he shares a portion in ownership, or if not, at least he's somebody who helps the one in authority. He's a helper of those in authority. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he does not have any helpers. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he is al-ghani al-hamid. He is the one who is free of all need, subhanahu wa ta'ala, and he is worthy of all praise, and he is qadirun ala kulli shay, subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he has the ability to do all things. He does not need anything. He does not need anything whatsoever, subhanahu wa ta'ala, and he has no helpers, those who help him manage his kingdom and his dominion and his authority and the creation that he has created that belongs to him. So this is the third aspect that is negated from the false gods that are worshipped besides him. They do not own anything by themselves, and nor do they share a partnership whatsoever in the authority or ownership or in possession of anything in the heavens and the earth. And likewise, they are not helpers as well for the true owner. And there's only one thing left then, and this is that they will be able to intercede with the owner. And then Allah, he says to clarify this, likewise, وَلَا تَنْفَعُ الشَّفَاعَةُ عِنْدَهُ إِلَّا لِمَنْ أَذِنَ لَهُ. And likewise, the intercession will not benefit with him except for those whom he has allowed. Except for those whom he has allowed. So the one who should be called upon, he is Allah alone. And this is because he is the king and the one who has authority and command over all things. And he, no one shares with him in that whatsoever. And Allah Azza wa Jalla, he has no helpers or those who aid or support him whatsoever. He is not in need of that. And no one can intercede with him except with his permission. Except with his permission, subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is the ayat. التي قالت العلماء قال العلماء فيها قطعت عروق الشجرة عروق شجرة الشرك من قلوب المشركين قطعت عروق شجرة الشرك من قلوب المشركين. This verse here, it has cut the roots of shirk from the hearts of the mushrikeen. They have nothing else to tie to cling to or to be attached to, because those their false gods, they do not own or have authority over anything or possess anything in the heavens and the earth alone by themselves. Nor do they have a partnership in that whatsoever with Allah Azza wa Jalla, because he is the one who possesses and has authority and the command over all things. And likewise, those whom they call on besides Allah Azza wa Jalla, they're not aiders or supporters for Allah, because Allah, he does not need helpers, subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he does not have any helpers or aiders to support him and to help him, tabaraka wa ta'ala. And likewise, the only thing after that is left is to benefit from the king, subhanahu wa ta'ala, al-malik. Malik al-Mulk, the king and the owner of the dominion, subhanahu wa ta'ala, is that there will be intercession. But with Allah Azza wa Jal, it's not like the intercession with the creation. Hu al-Khaliq, subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he is free of all needs and worthy of all praise. And the intercession cannot occur with him except for those whom he has allowed, because it is his dominion and his authority. Wa lillahi shafa'atu jami'ah. And the intercession belongs to Allah entirely. All of the aspects of intercession belong to him alone, subhanahu wa ta'ala. So now the author, after mentioning this verse, he mentioned a very beneficial statement of Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah, rahimahullah ta'ala. He was born in the year 661, and he died in the year 728, rahimahullah ta'ala, from the greatest scholars of al-Islam, and from those who have revived the Sunnah and defended the current Aqidah, Al-Aqidah Salafiyah, and clarified the methodology of the Sahaba and that which the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and his companions radiallahu anhum were upon. He clarified that, rahimahullah ta'ala, and made great effort in jihad, striving physically and likewise with knowledge, striving to fight in the path of Allah with the sword and with the pen and with the clarification in bayan رحمه الله تعالى. So the author, he says, قال أبو العباس. قال أبو العباس. أبو العباس, this is the kunya of Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah. And his name is Ahmed ibn Abdul Halim ibn Abdul Salam ibn Taymiyyah al-Harrani. رحمه الله تعالى. And his kunya is Abu al-Abbas. But he never got married, رحمه الله تعالى. The ulama, they mentioned this was not because he refrained or stayed away from marriage because of seeking to worship Allah, draw near to Allah. Rather, that's not the sunnah. And this is not the purpose why Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah, he never became married, but rather because he was completely preoccupied with jihad, literally fighting with the sword against the enemies of al-Islam, as well as jihad with the pen. And he was in prison many times and did not have the opportunity to relax and to marry, rahimahullah ta'ala. So this kunya here is the kunya, and the ulama, they mention هذه الكunya للتكريم, yani that he does not have a child named Al-Abbas, but rather this is, he's been given this kunya, and it's out of a type of respect. And this is the issue of the kunya, and the kunya is a means for showing respect to an individual, that you will call him by his kunya, Ya Aba Abdullah, Ya Aba Fulan, Ya Aba Zayd, مثلا. And you call him by his kunya out of respect and honoring him. So here, this is the case here. Qala Abu al-Abbas. Qala Abu al-Abbas. Abu al-Abbas, this is Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah, rahimahullah ta'ala. So he mentioned, نفى الله عما سواه كل ما يتعلق به المشركون. That Allah Azza wa Jal, he has negated from other than him everything that the mushrikun, they attach themselves to. And the mushrikun, whenever they are attached with their hearts and they're hoping for benefit and protection, or they're hoping from the removal or protection from harm, or to bring about good and benefit from their false gods, their hearts are attached to their false gods from these aspects that have been mentioned in this verse. So Allah has negated them entirely from everything besides Him. فَنَفَى أَن يُكُونَ لِغَيْرِهِ مُلْكٌ أَوْ قِسْطٌ مِنْهُ. So Allah, in these verses, He has negated that the dominion or the kingdom or authority or ownership or even a portion of that has been negated from everyone besides Him and from anything besides Him. And meaning He is the one who has the authority and the dominion alone, subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَأَوْ يَكُونَ عَوْنًا لِلَّهِ. And likewise, Allah has negated that there would be anything from the creation that is a helper for Him. He does not have any helpers. وَلَمْ يَبْقَى إِلَّا الشَّفَاعَةِ. So if that's the case, if the things that they, and the false gods that they call on besides Allah Azza wa Jal, they do not own or have any true authority or ownership over anything, nor do they share a portion in that, and likewise they do not help Allah Azza wa Jal in His possession and ownership of His dominion and His kingdom, there's nothing left, he says. وَلَمْ يَبْقَى إِلَّا الشَّفَاعَةِ. Nothing is left for them to be attached to now except for the intercession. فَبَيَّنَ أَنَّهَا لَا تَنْفَعُ إِلَّا لِمَنْ أَذِنَ لَهُ الرَّبَّ. So he clarified that the intercession does not benefit except for the one whom the Lord has allowed. The Lord has allowed. So therefore, one will not seek intercession in any manner except for in a manner that is allowed by the Rabb subhanahu wa ta'ala. كما قال تعالى, like Allah has said in His book, وَلَا يَشْفَعُونَ إِلَّا لِمَنْ يَتُضَى. And likewise, they will not be able to intercede except for the one whom He's pleased with, meaning Allah Azza wa Jal. فهذه الشفاعة التي يظنها المشركون هي منفية يوم القيامة كما نفاه القرآن. That this intercession that the polytheists and the pagans, the mushrikun, they think that they would obtain it, it is negated and it will not occur on the day of resurrection, just as the Quran has negated it. وأخبر النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم أنه يأتي فيسجد لربه ويحمده. And likewise, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he himself, he has informed that on the day of resurrection he will come and he will prostrate before his Lord and he will praise Him. لا يبدأ بالشفاعة أولا. Even the Prophet himself, that will intercede, whenever he intercedes, he will come before Allah azza wa jalla and he will prostrate in front of Him and he will praise Him, and he will not begin with intercession immediately. ثم يقال له ارفع رأسك وقول يسمع وسل تعطى واشفع تشفع. He said, رحمه الله تعالى, then Allah, the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, even whenever he comes to intercede, that he will not intercede immediately. Rather, he likewise is in need of the permission of Allah. The Messenger Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he does not intercede without the permission of Allah. Rather, he will come before Allah and he will prostrate. He will prostrate and that Allah will inspire and reveal to him words of praise that he did not know while he was alive, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he will praise Allah with these words, and then he will not begin with intercession immediately. Shaykh al-Islam mentioned, referring to the narration, it will be said to him at whenever Allah is pleased, while the Prophet is in prostration, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, praising Allah azza wa jal, irfa' ra'saka, raise your head, wa qul yusma, and say you will be heard, وَسَلْ تُعْطَى, and ask and you will be given, وَشْفَعْ تُشَفَّعْ, and intercede and intercession will be allowed for you. This is what the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned about himself in front of his Lord on the day of resurrection. He will not simply go to Allah azza wa jalla and intercede. Rather, it will occur in this manner, and he will beg and he will praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and glorify him until he is allowed to intercede. And it will be said for him to, now you can raise your head. Now you can, if you speak, you will be heard. Now if you ask, you will be given. Intercede and intercession will be granted to you at this time, whenever Allah wills. So Shaykh Muhammad ibn Abdul Wahhab, rahimahullah ta'ala, continues mentioning the statement of Ibn Taymiyyah, rahimahullah ta'ala, وَقَالَ لَهُ أَبُو هُرَيْوَةَ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُ. Likewise, Abu Hurairah رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُ, he said to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, مَنْ أَسْعَدُ النَّاسِ بِشِفَاعَتِكَ. And who is the happiest and will be the most pleased with your intercession, O Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And he's likewise referring to the narration, which is well known. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam qala, man qala la ilaha illallah khalisan min qalbihi. The one who is most happy and pleased and the one who benefits the most from my intercession, meaning on the day of resurrection, is the one who said La ilaha illallah, sincerity from his heart. Sincerity from his heart. So Shaykh al-Islam is clarifying that even the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, whenever he intercedes, he only intercedes by the permission of Allah azza wa jalla, and not before that. And likewise in this narration of the Prophet here sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, those who benefit and will be pleased and those who will be happy with the intercession of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and will receive that, they are those who say La ilaha illallah khalisan min qalbihi. The one who says La ilaha illallah sincerely from his heart. And those who say it and they know what it means and they have complied to that and they said it sincerely and they benefited from that statement and they complied to that statement and they lived and died upon that statement and what that statement requires and necessitates. And this is what is understood from the one who says it sincerely from his heart. One cannot say something sincerely from his heart except if he knows what it means and he believes in that, what he is saying, and likewise he complies to that sincerely and truthfully. So he says, فَتِلْكَ الشَّفَاعَةُ لِأَهْلِ الْإِخْلَاصِ بِإِذْنِ اللَّهِ. So this is the intercession that would occur for the people of sincerity by the permission of Allah. وَلَا تَكُونَ لِمَنْ أَشْرَكَ بِاللَّهِ. And it will never occur for the person who associated partners with Allah. He said, رَحِمَهُ اللَّهِ وَحَقِيقَتُهُ. And the reality of this intercession, أَنَّ اللَّهَ سُبْحَانَهُ هُوَ الَّذِي يَتَفَضَّلُ عَلَى أَهْلِ الْإِخْلَاصِ. فَيَغْفِرُ لَهُمْ بِوَاسِطَةِ دُعَاءِ مَنْ أَذِنَ لَهُ أَنْ يَشْفَى لِيُكَرِمَهُ وَيَنَالَ الْمَقَامِ الْمَحْمُودِ. So the reality of this intercession is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he will bestow a great bounty and favor and grace upon the people of sincerity and the people of ikhlas, the people of tawheed. And he will pardon them, will forgive them by way of the supplication of those whom he allows to intercede. So this is another great point, and that is that the intercession, it is actually a supplication. Intercession is a supplication. So one person, the one who is interceding, he's asking Allah Azza wa Jal. He's asking Allah Azza wa Jal for good for another person. He's asking Allah Azza wa Jal for good for another person. So whenever a person, he calls on Allah Azza wa Jal, asking him to forgive his brother, or to guide his family and the likes, like this is a type of intercession, and it can only be done with Allah Azza wa Jalla. So one will not go to the Prophet and ask him to ask Allah, because the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he's dead, and he cannot hear. those who called on him. He cannot hear those who called on him. And likewise, those people in the graves, in the awliya, that they claim to be from the righteous, and the people in the graves, to go to them and to call on them, and even if one of them said, ask Allah to forgive me, ask Allah to pardon me, like this. This is that they're calling on others besides Allah. This is dua. This is dua. So the intercession, this is how it occurs, that Allah Azza wa Jal, He will pardon and forgive others by way of the supplication of someone whom He allows to intercede on their behalf. And this is in order, He says, to honor that person. I mean, the one who He Himself is interceding, Allah is honoring that person by allowing him to intercede and allowing his intercede to be beneficial. So now this person is being honored, and the people, they see the honor of him, and the people will see how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allowed his intercession to be accepted and to be granted. And this means that this person must be near to him subhanahu wa ta'ala. So he will achieve that great and praiseworthy status. Meaning on the day of resurrection, whenever all the people are standing in the mahshar, and they're in the gathering waiting for the judgment to occur between Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and for the people to receive their accounts, and for the people of Jannah to enter Jannah, and the people of Nar to enter the Nar, Ya'adhan Billah, the people, they're going to go to Adam and to Ibrahim and to Nuh and Musa and the likes, and they will all refuse, and they will all refuse to ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to intercede on behalf of the creation for Allah to begin the judgment. But the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was ana laha, I'm the one who will do it. I am the one who will do it. And then he mentioned this narration here, how he will go before Allah azza wa jalla in that manner, and he will prostrate, and then it will be allowed for him to, and he will praise Allah, and then it will be allowed for him to raise his head and to ask and to intercede, and his intercession will be granted at that time. All of this is going to clarify in front of all of the creation the status and rank of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam in his position with Allah azza wa jalla, and he will be praised by the first and the last of the creation in this manner. So the shafa'a is for this purpose. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to honor this individual by granting him intercession, and likewise Allah azza wa jalla, He wants to show mercy to the person who is going to receive the intercession, al-mashfu' lahu. But He does it in this manner to clarify the honor of the one who is interceding, and likewise to grant mercy to the one who intercession is being made for. This is from the wisdom of Allah and from His legislation and what He has decreed and what He wants subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Shaykh al-Islami says, فَالشَّفَاعَةُ أَلَّتِ نَفَاهَا الْقُرْآنِ مَا كَانَ فِيهَا شِرْكِ. So the intercession that the Quran has negated is the one that has shirk in it. وَلِهَذَا أَثْبَتَ الشَّفَاعَةَ بِإِذْنِهِ فِي مَوَاضِعٍ. And because of this, Allah has, or the Quran, or Allah has affirmed in the Quran the intercession by His permission in many places. وَقَدْ بَيَّنَ النَّبِي صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ أَنَّهَا لَا تَكُونُ إِلَّا لِأَهْلِ التَّوْحِيدِ وَالْإِخْلَاصِ. And Allah, and the Messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم, He clarified that intercession will not be, yani the one that Allah will allow, it will not occur except for those people of التوحيد and الإخلاص. انتهى كلامه رحمه الله. This is the end of the statement of Shaykh al-Islam Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah ta'ala. So we see that the conditions for the intercession that is allowed and is affirmed, that it must be by the permission of Allah alone. من ذا الذي يشفع عنده إلا بإذنه. And likewise, it must be for those whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is pleased with. ولا يشفعون إلا لمن ارتضى. And they cannot intercede except for the one whom Allah is pleased with. And likewise, Allah, He's not pleased with except for those people of At-Tawheed and Al-Ikhlas. Qala Abu Hurairah radiyallahu anhu, man as'adu nasi bi shifa'atika, qala sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, man qala la ilaha illallah khalisun min qalbihi. Who are the most happy and those who benefit most from your intercession on the day of resurrection? O Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, He said, those who said la ilaha illallah sincerely from their hearts. Likewise, there is another narration of Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu in Sahih Muslim. And he mentions, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, لِكُلِّ نَبِيٍّ دَعْوَةٌ مُسْتَجَابَةٌ, that every single prophet had a supplication and invocation that will be responded to. فَتَعَجَّلَ كُلُّ نَبِيٍّ دَعْوَتَهُ, and every prophet that had preceded me, he has already preceded and made that supplication and received that request. وإني اختبأت دعوتي شفاعة لأمتي يوم القيامة. But I have saved and put my supplication in reserve to use as a means of intercession for my ummah on the day of resurrection. فهي نائلة إن شاء الله من مات من أمتي لا يشرك بالله شيئا. And my intercession on that I have saved for the day of resurrection will be obtained by everyone from my ummah who dies and does not associate any partners with Allah whatsoever. So then it's very clear that the shafa'a that is affirmed, it is the one that is by the permission of Allah and for those whom Allah is pleased with. And those whom Allah is pleased with are those people of al-tawheed and ikhlas, and the people who they never made any shirk or associated partners with Allah whatsoever, meaning they worship Allah alone, even if they had major sins or they fell into actions of disobedience. But as for their worship, it was always entirely and purely for Allah alone. These are the people who have intercession. These are the people who have intercession. And likewise, the people of al-tawheed from all of their ranks, even those whom are righteous and did not have sins, they also will have intercession as well in their ranks being elevated in the paradise, and so on and so forth, as we have seen in the previous classes. As we have seen in the previous classes, and the author now he mentions fihi masail. Fihi masail. And in this chapter, there are masail and issues and benefits, fawaid, likewise, that he will mention. Al-ula tafsir al-ayat. The first is explanation, interpretation of the verses that have preceded, and we have discussed them in detail. Walillah alhamd. Al-thaniya sifatu shifa'ati al-manfiyya. And also from the benefits of this chapter and these texts is the second mas'ala, and that is the description of the intercession that has been negated. And he meaning the intercession that is without the permission of Allah or for someone whom Allah is not pleased with, and for the people of shirk or disbelief. الثالثة صفة الشفاعة المثبتة. And likewise, the second or the third mas'ala is the attribute or the characteristic of the affirmed intercession. And we have seen that that is for the one whom Allah has allowed and the one who Allah has given permission. And likewise, it is for those whom Allah is pleased with. الرابعة ذكر الشفاعة الكبرى وهي المقام المحمود. And likewise, the fourth one is the mention of the greatest intercession, and this is the praiseworthy status and rank for the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We have seen the reality of that. Likewise, الخامسة the fifth مسألة صفة ما يفعله صلى الله عليه وسلم وأنه لا يبدأ بالشفاعة أولا بل يسجد فإذا أذن الله له الشفاعة. And the fifth مسألة here is the attribute or the characteristic or the manner that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam he will seek intercession for al-maqam al-mahmud, and that is that he will not begin with intercession immediately or in the first place, rather he will prostrate before that, and then whenever Allah allows him, he will intercede sallallahu alaihi wasallam. As-sadisa man as'adu an-nas biha, man as'adu an-nas biha. The sixth mas'ala is the question, who was the one who benefit the most from the intercession, who is the happiest of those? And those who benefit the most from the intercession, they are the people of al-tawheed wal-ikhlas. We have seen the evidence for this as well. As-sabi'ah, the seventh mas'ala, أَنَّهَا لَا تَكُونُ لِمَنْ أَشْرَكَ بِاللَّهِ, that it will never be for the one who associated partners with Allah. نعم. لِكُلِ نَبِيٍ دَعْوَةٌ مُسْتَجَابَةٌ وَتَعَجَّلَ كُلُّ نَبِيٍ دَعْوَتَهُ وَإِنِّي اخْتَبَأْتُ دَعْوَتِي شَفَاءَةً لِأُمَّتِي يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ فَإِنَّهَا نَائِلَةٌ إِنْ شَاءَ اللَّهُ مَنْ مَاتَ مِنْ أُمَّتِي لَا يُشْرِكُ بِاللَّهِ شَيْئًا. That the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he has saved his supplication that will be responded to for a means of intercession on the day of resurrection, and everyone from his ummah would obtain it so long as they died any from his ummah and they did not associate partners with Allah whatsoever. Athamina bayanu haqiqatiha. The famina is to clarify the reality of this intercession, and the reality of the intercession that is purely a grace and a mercy from Allah and a bounty from Allah, and it is by his permission and by his will, and that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala he allowed the intercession in order to honor the one who intercedes, and also in order to show mercy and blessing to the one whom the intercession is being allowed for and being made for. And with this, we close the chapter Ash-Shafa'ah, and the next chapter, the author he mentioned, Rahimahullah Ta'ala, Qawlillahi Ta'ala, Innaka la tahdi man ahbabt. He mentioned the next chapter is the statement of Allah the Most High, Verily, you do not guide those whom you like. And in referring to the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, Verily, O Messenger of Allah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, you do not guide whom you like. Lakin Allah Yahdi man yasha. But rather, Allah, He guides whom He wills. And we continue in our next class. InshaAllah, هذا وصلى الله على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم.